You know, it was yesterday in the afternoon, I was in my home, and I heard, I'm pretty sure it would be some saints crying out. And here's what I heard them say. Why should I even pray? Why do I bother? It was almost like a pleading of disappointment or hopelessness. Like, why should I bother? Nothing ever happens. And yet, we sing that song so gracefully, so beautifully, with such an anointing on it every Sunday to encourage hearts, that says, even though I don't see it, you're working. And even though I don't feel it, you're working. How many times, you guys, have we had to live on that one? Okay, so I want to encourage you tonight. You say, why should I bother? Well, I'll tell you why you ought to bother. You just have to. I've said for years that prayer is the Cinderella of the church. Now, not in all the saints, but it's become a Cinderella who's put in the back room, and a lot of people don't want to fool with it. Because I'll tell you something, when you pray, it takes effort. And I remember times when it was just like, oh, man, you know, and I've trained now more over the past 20 years, but there were times where I would think, the issue was just so much that I would think it would just almost give you a brain cramp even to think about praying. See, Pastor, how could you say that? Well, you have to if you admit it. Just like, I don't even know what to say. And I couldn't even open my lips to do it. I just couldn't get the words out to say it. And this went on for a little while. I don't know how long. But all of a sudden, I heard probably the wisdom of God in my heart that just said, just open your mouth and say something. That's it. Just say it like this. Help me, Jesus. I went, got down on my knees, and I opened my lips, and I said, help you, Jesus. And then I heard in my spirit, how hard was that? Well, that felt pretty good. And so then, you just have to go ahead and open your mouth and do it, even when you don't feel like saying it. Just say something to him. If all you can say is, help me, Lord. That's what my brother said when he was being hit by two big, he was smashed in between two 18-wheelers up in a collision up in the fog. It was a two-hour, car pileup. 2 hours. They just kept piling up, crashing into each other. And he had just hit this big truck in front of him, and there was another one coming behind him. And the only thing he thought to say which saved him, and he had the wherewithal to yank his glasses off his head, and he yelled, help me, Jesus. And he helped him. Helped him get out of that car. The window was down this far. He was able to crawl out onto the highway. But there were two blonde girls, beautiful blonde girls, and he always talks about them. At first, Linda was a little bit, you know, why were they so beautiful? Nah, just kidding, Linda. But we know they were angels because they got him out. Amen. His hip was broken. He was tore up from the floor up. But anyway, those words of disappointment, you know, the why should I even pray? Those are words of hopelessness. They're words of waiting for a long, long time when somebody starts talking like that. There's really not that gift of long suffering because they're like, I'm worn out. I'm just tired. I don't know what else to say. I'm done. I am just too through. And so I want you to look at this word I'm giving you tonight. Look over to Luke 11. Let's just go right here and see what Jesus says, because he's the absolute best teacher. David, will you make sure I can hear myself? I'm having just a little hard time hearing. All right, 11:1. And now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. They may have been in this very spot, like, I don't even know how. The disciples, they had been walking with him all these years. I mean, not all these years, a couple of years already. They watched him pray all the time, and they're like, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And verse 2 says, and so he said to them, Jesus said it so simply, when, he didn't say if, because he was counting on them doing it. And then he says, well, when you pray, say, he always keeps it simple, say, all right, will you read this with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, give him worship. Then tell him your kingdom, read it with me, your kingdom come, your will be done, earth as it is in heaven. What's his will in heaven? Joy, peace, full of love, joy unspeakable and full of glory, peace. And so Jesus said, ask for everything that's there to come here. All right, let's read on. Give us your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he said, ask for this. Verse 3. Read, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, because we have some, as we forgive our debtors. I know we're reading from New King James now. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Don't let us go into temptation, Lord. Keep us from that. You know, we are all tempted with different things. Some of us never have to worry about being tempted with that or this because we've never been there. And I always say, Jesus, just because I haven't, please don't ever let me be tempted to do that, because I'm not above that. You're not above that. And Jesus said, I know you're not. So you need to pray that you won't fall into that. And then, you know, David said that he loads us daily with benefits. And then Jesus says here in the New Testament, years after, David said, God gives us daily benefits, loads us down with them. Jesus said, ask him when you pray to give us day by day your daily bread, daily benefits. All right, so we'll just leave that right there. But Jesus, even when he was dying on the cross, he prayed. Remember him praying there, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And even I was in Walmart today, and I ran on to Gabby, and this young lady says, oh, I love your cross. And I said, oh, I'm so glad you know about the cross and what happened there. She said, oh, it was all finished right there, wasn't it? I'm telling you, that blessed me so hard. She said, it was finished. I said, I'm so glad you know that, and I'm glad I know that. But sometimes we don't act like it. And when I left, I just had to tell her again, honey, it's so sweet that you said it is finished in Walmart. It's finished wherever we are. He can't go back and do one more thing to make your life better. He already did everything that he can do to make it better. So don't ever stop praying. Even though you don't see it, he's working. Even though you don't feel it, you don't hear it, he's working. So he prayed even when he was dying. He just always prayed. He always did. Sometimes Jesus prayed all night. Gabby, pull up Luke 18:1, please. Look at this. This is just the one verse, and we'll go right back there to chapter 11. But I've always loved this, just almost a one-liner. Luke 18:1. And then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray. Why? And not lose heart. Old King James says, and don't faint. Because if we quit praying, we'll get fainty. If we stop praying and we lose confidence in it, then we forget and we'll get loose. And he said, now don't lose heart. Don't lose hope here. You know, just you just ought to always pray. Okay, so we'll go back now to 11. But church, just think about it. Cars have to run on. Cars are meant to run on gas or electricity today, either one. But when they run on electricity, they don't run. Where's Luke? Let me get back over there. But cars were meant to run on gas. And if they don't, What are they going to do? They're just going to sit right still. They're not going to go anywhere without gas. I don't care. You say, I don't have the money to put gas in. I'm going to put water in it. Well, go ahead. Try it. Go ahead. It's going to ruin it, and it isn't going to do one bit of good for that car. It's not going anywhere. It's just going to sit there, and nothing is going to happen. And our homes are meant to run on electricity. Look around us tonight. All of these beautiful lights are ran by electricity. The light, the little light, won't be anything without the electricity. It'll just be dead. It'll be dark. And for the children of God, it was God's intention for all of us, everyone on earth, to run on his power and his strength and his presence and his love. That's what he meant for us to do. And if we get disconnected from that, we're just like a car trying to run without gas. We'll just set still. You won't even idle. After a while, you might idle a while, but pretty soon you're going to run totally out and you're just going to sit still and you can't do anything. And it might be just like a collapse. You're just like, you know, or electricity. You turn the lights off or turn the power off. What are we going to do? We're going to be sitting right here in darkness. So if we're not connected to him, it'll be just like cutting the electricity off, the power off. We'll just sit right there in darkness. Sit there. Be totally, totally still. Amen. So I want to go back to chapter 11 because I want us to pray. You back there at Luke 11? Go to verse 5. This is really familiar, but let me bring this home to you. Jesus gives such good advice here. Wonderful advice. And still, it's all about praying. Because the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, you and I just read how he told us to pray. So pray that every morning. I pray the Lord's Prayer every single morning. So I make sure every one of those things are covered. And I've said that so much, many of you do too. And I noticed even in the prayer room, Linda will say the Lord's Prayer even before they pray, after they worship. So, all right, let's go on down to verse 5 because he's still talking about prayer. And then he said to them, all in red, now which of you shall have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me, and I cannot rise to give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. All right, what's he saying there? He said, now you tell me which one of you would go down to your friend's house. Sarah's got a friend that lives just a few doors down from them that she met here in the youth group as young youth. They've been friends ever since. Tiffany Matthews. They live just 5 doors down, but I can tell you right now they've been friends all these years. If Tiffany came down and knocked on her door and said, Sarah, do you guys have any bread? I had somebody drop in, and I didn't know they were coming. I don't have any bread. Do you have that? Is Sarah going to go, Tiff, get out of here. My kids are asleep. I don't want to be bothered. She's going to say, hey, just wait right there. Come right in. I'll get your bread for you. Okay, we're not cold-hearted, and I don't think any of us would turn a friend away like that. I mean, we would get up now. He says, which one of you would do that? Not any of you would do that. So what he is saying is, I'm the same way. You're my friend. Jesus said, I call you friends. And if you come and ask me for something, am I going to say, I don't have time for you. Go. Okay, so let's go a little farther. So Jesus gives them a little more instruction in verse 9. He says, so I say to you, ask. You know, because you're talking to a friend. Ask me, and it will be given to you. Seek. Go to your friend's house. And you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now, if you just say, well, I just didn't want to bother them, so I didn't go over there. You know, they should know I have a need. No, sometimes you just have to go ask. You don't want to, but it's okay to do that with a friend if you have to. So, look. And then he goes a little bit farther. He says, let me bring this on home. Verse 10, anyone who asks receives, who knocks finds, knocks, it'll be open. Verse 11, I love this. Now, if a son asks for bread from his father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now, Mike, if Chris comes over tonight and says, Dad, you know what? What's her name? Carrie is making a cake. We need two eggs. You all have any eggs? Are you going to give him a scorpion? No, let me go out on the back porch and find a scorpion for you. Jesus says, how ridiculous is that? You don't do that to your children. You go and try to find them what they ask for. Now, verse 13, he just always thought like he was kind of cutting us low in this. But he isn't really. He's just making a point. Look at verse 13. And if you then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Well, he's saying, you know how to do that. And he wasn't calling us sinners. But he said, you've still got some stuff going on. You're being evil. You know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, here it's talking about the Holy Spirit. But you go over to Matthew 7:11, and it'll say, give good things to those who ask. Give good things to those who ask. So he's saying, I'm a good father. I'm a good friend. So don't feel bad to ask me, and just come back and ask me again if you need to. Come back again, because he said being persistent makes it happen sometimes. Just go again, ask, seek, and you will find, and then sometimes you just got to keep knocking. That's when you're saying those things like, what good does it do to pray? Why do I even bother? Well, you got to do it again. Do it again. Now, let me bring two more scriptures here, and I'm just going to read them and we'll quit. Luke 5:16. I love Luke. I know I come into Luke a lot, but Luke 5:16. David, they're calling you. Oh, there you are. 5:16. So look at this. So he himself, who's it talking about? He himself, Jesus, often, somebody say often, withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Now, anyone can pray when we're desperate. You don't know how this is going to turn out. So, man, anyone can pray then. But it says Jesus often withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now, that's a lonely place. You're out there all by yourself, and nobody even knows what you're going through. And that's a time where you're up here in this wilderness praying all by yourself. And Jesus said, I've been there, done that. I went ahead of you. I went before you. One more thing. Luke 22. Luke 22, 40. Luke 22, 40, 41 and 42, I think. Luke 22, 40. And when he had come to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. He's praying, telling his own men that, his own disciples. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, he knelt down and did what? He prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, I don't like what's happening here, but Lord, if you can better me with this, and the Lord did better the entire world with it, just to hang out and wait with him, church, I promise you. And then there were times the Bible said Jesus stayed up all night with the Lord. He went to God and prayed all night long. Lord, we receive this word into our hearts. I'm so thankful that our lives are hidden with you in God. Colossians 1:3. For our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We're right there, tucked away in your own heart, God. So help us to know not only are you the lover of our souls, but you're our best friend and our Father and our intercessor and our helper. And not one moment goes by that you're not aware of us. We give you praise. Keep on praying, church, in Jesus' name. Come on, we've got a few minutes to pray. Let's lower those lights and you all come on, find a place. And let's talk to him. You know, Word People's got a lot of things to pray about. Miss Teresa? Okay, our Louisiana Rose. Surgery on Friday for Rose. Okay, I'll contact her. Also, I want to tell you, Miss Teresa, I took the kids to the park yesterday after school and ran on to one of your friends, Miss Christina. And so I was visiting with her, and pretty soon she says, are you Pastor Paulette? And I said, yes. She goes, I used to go to your church with Teresa. And so I invited her back. So if you should see her, tell her to come on back with us, in Jesus' name. Be mindful of who you're with. You never know. God may have brought them right before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's stand and worship him. Let's stand and thank him for hearing us tonight. Wonderful Jesus, and not just tonight, but I was thinking as we were praying about that little building across the street. Every Thursday night, some of you were here, and we prayed there every Thursday night. Do you ever wonder what happened to those prayers? They're still around. They're still working. Man, we prayed over our family. We prayed over the youth. We prayed over lost souls. We prayed that this building would be paid off. And I don't know of anyone that's prayed more for this building to be paid off than Peggy. I think she's prayed more about that than I have. Lord, this entire building will be paid off. And so let's keep praying that. But I believe that our families are going to have revival. I believe there's going to be a fire in our youth, a fiery revival, Dee. You pray that all the time. And you know what? And let me remind you of this. Every now and then, the Holy Spirit will remind me, and I believe he did tonight, that there is word. The word is written. You just heard. The word has a name. It's Jesus. But the word is written on these steps. The word is written on this floor. The word is written on the frames. Before the walls went up, the word is written all over this place. It's on the platform. Brother Chris, the word is all over your room in there. When you guys come in, you're stepping right on the word of the Lord when you go in. When you walk up those steps, you're walking on the word. Wherever you all sit, there's word written all over the place. And every now and then I can hear that word crying out saying, I'm still here. I've got you. I've heard. I don't know. He saved the best wine till the last. I believe it's still upon us. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you guys for being so faithful. So may the Lord bless you and keep you and give you a wonderful week. May he pour his spirit out upon you. And may he bless you and keep you. Put his face upon you and be gracious to you. Turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you grace and peace in Jesus' name. Amen.